Vienna on August 26th. Holland's meeting of orders, meeting we held in compliance with open place meeting law. That the requirements of the law have been met with the posting of the meeting notice on a list of both board filed with the borough clerk and forwarded to the Courier News and Star like this. You all please stand for the pledge of allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call.
Mayor Longo.
Here.
Council President Berchtesgaden.
Here.
Councilman Guerra.
Here.
Councilman Lopez advised you would be absent. Councilman Morris.
Here.
Councilman Rossi.
Here.
Councilman Speed.
Here.
Okay. Thanks. All right, very good. We're going to move right to September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, so we have a proclamation. Whereas ovarian cancer is the fifth leading cause of cancer-related death among women in the United States, and the American Cancer estimates that in 2025, approximately 20,890 women will be diagnosed with ovarian cancer. 12,730 will die from the disease nationwide, including an estimated 670 new cases and 340 deaths in New Jersey. And whereas women's lifetime risk of being diagnosed with ovarian cancer is approximately 1 in 91, and their lifetime risk of dying from the disease is approximately 1 in 143. And whereas due to vague, nonspecific symptoms and the absence of reliable early detection tests, the majority of women are diagnosed at stage 3 or later, and the cancer has already spread beyond the ovaries. And whereas, although the 5-year survival rate for stage 1 ovarian cancer exceeds 90%, only 15% of cases are diagnosed at this early stage. For those diagnosed in later stages, the 5-year survival rate drops below 30%. And whereas, while screening tools such as mammograms and pap tests exist for breast and cervical cancer, no equivalent screening test exists for ovarian cancer, making awareness of symptoms and risk factors essential for early intervention. And whereas increased public education about ovarian cancer can help save lives by promoting early diagnosis, supporting access to dialogical oncology care, and encouraging research funding for better detection and treatment options. And whereas during the month of September, the Borough Boundbrook joins survivors, families, healthcare professionals, advocacy organizations, and all those committed to raising awareness, remembering lives lost, and offering hope for a future with better outcomes and ultimately a cure. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Dominic Longo, will hereby proclaim September 2025 as Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month in the Borough of Boundbrook, New Jersey, and encourage all residents to participate in awareness activities, wear teal in support, and engage in conversation that helps save lives and support thousands of families affected by this devastating disease. In witness thereof, I heretofore set my hand and cause the seal of the Borough of Boundbrook to be affixed this August 26th of August 2025 on this proclamation. All right, we'll move right into readings for comments and invitation for discussion from the public. Anyone wishes to approach? Hearing none, we will go right into the opening of bids for the Laundry Asbestos Abatement. Jeff, do you want to comment?
The borough received 9 bids for the asbestos abatement project. Later on in the agenda, you'll see that we'll be awarding the contract to Teal Management. We have the pre-con meeting scheduled for September 4th, and hopefully the company can mobilize soon thereafter.
Very good. Council on that? Good. Moving forward. All right, Jensen, engineer's report, which can you entail?
Nothing
to report. Okay. And Councilman Burns, that was something. All right, we're going to move right into committee reports. The Chair of Finance, Councilman Morris.
I defer to the CFO who's on hand and does a great job.
Dear Governing Body, as we are moving forward into the final months of 2025, the Finance Department has been hard at work ensuring the continued fiscal success of the borough and overseeing the fiscal operations of the calendar year 2025 budget. It is my pleasure to report the significant developments of the calendar year 2025 budget to you today. and pilot revenues at $1,279,607.37, and pilot revenues against our anticipation of $1,550,000. As a result, we have collected 82.56% of our anticipated revenue as of August 26, 2025. For code enforcement, at $129,757 in cash receipts, our code enforcement division has collected 81.10% of its anticipated revenue of $160,000. The borough clerk's office has seen an increase of 19% in revenue collections from prior year for other licenses, with food licenses being the biggest cost driver in the amount of $19,508. Of our anticipated $15,000, the borough has realized $22,168, or 147.79%. For fees and permits, at $32,531.28, the borough has realized 81.33% of its anticipated revenue of $40,000. For the municipal court, at $382,036.20, our municipal court has realized 84.90% of its anticipated revenues of $450,000. For our utility refuse fees, at $745,643.23, our tax collector has collected 76.71% of our anticipated revenue of $972,000. For fire protection, at $51,531.27, our fire safety bureau has collected 103.06% of our anticipated revenue of $50,000. For housing inspection fees, at $377,135, our housing inspectors have collected 83.81% of our anticipated revenue of $450,000. For receipts for delinquent taxes, at $228,015.33, our tax collector has collected 95.01% of our anticipated revenue of $240,000. For energy receipts tax, the borough has received its first installment of $496,701.46 from the state on August 1st. We anticipate receiving the remaining allocations of $607,079.57 throughout the fall leading into December. The borough administration will meet to discuss the calendar year 2026 budget process and will begin a meeting with the various departments in September and throughout the fall to determine the departmental needs and concerns. It is the administration's obligation to continue providing the most effective services to the residents at the lowest responsible cost to the taxpayer, and I hope this report serves as evidence of the hard work and dedication of all borough staff and departments. I would be remiss to say that I would be remiss to say if I did not mention the hard work and dedication that goes into the work of all borough department staff and employees in getting these revenue numbers. This was only a snapshot of our significant financial trajectory, but you know, we're looking good for calendar year 2025, and I'm looking forward to calendar year 2026.
Excellent. Any questions?
I don't see how we can have questions after that level of detail. I feel like if you forwarded it and I just read it as the chair, I'd be taking credit that I didn't earn or deserve. So thank you very much for that. On to the special improvement district. At our last meeting, we approved the budget, at which point our the management company that the CID has retained to basically operate all aspects of management and cleaning and event hosting and all those things. They went into action within a day or two. The initial first 2 days of cleanup and planting, they did a lot of power washing of sidewalks and benches, and you drive through and it's incredibly noticeable. They cleaned up the commuter lot. They cleaned up the wells of where the trees are. They did all new plantings. And in the process, They are going to continue ongoing maintenance and garbage collection. They're going to be here, I believe, 2 times a week with a team, with their team and a truck. We had this met, got together, and we, our initial budget was calling for 20 new garbage cans, and the price has since dropped, and we're going to be able to purchase 30 with our budgeted amount. There's going to be new planters to get the all of the planters on the main street to be uniform and all matching, and we're going to take all those existing planters and move them to other other areas of the district. But the real goal is to make the continue with the part of Main Street to be all uniform, look sharp, look clean. You know, at some point down the line, there's a discussion of additional lighting or things like that. We're also reviewing the holiday decorations and lighting. We have an initial amount budgeted for $10,000, which, you know, I think we basically discussed that that's going to be more of a 3-year process to get the holiday decorations and lighting up to where we think it's going to be really pretty impressive. Also, having this company, the personnel out there on the street, on the ground, a couple things that they noticed was the one manager from the company says that he was approached by a couple of panhandlers, and they noticed some public drinking in the Pocket Park, the Sam Crinney, right? Mm-hmm. Apologize if I'm not saying the name right. So at some point we want to follow up with, you know, if this becomes a problem. I mean, the goal is to get people down there. We're going to get it all cleaned up, make it look nice. And the next step to get people down there is you don't want to have, you know, people going out to dinner and getting approached for change or, you know, have drinking and walking around. I mean, I don't think it's a massive problem. But our chair, the chair of the SID, is also a chair of the SID in a section of Newark, and he said that they dealt with that. Obviously, I don't think anybody here is going to compare what we're dealing with to whatever's going on in Newark. And he said that they were able to effectively eliminate that over a relatively short period of time. But our plan is to work with, you know, the police department. Also, the company has an outside landscaper who we will make sure it coordinates all of their efforts with DPW so that on a going forward basis. I don't think they did that much the first 2 days, but we want to make sure that's all being done in accordance with the plans and what the borough policies. I think it's going great, and we're just going to keep at it. And that's it.
Questions? No, just a comment. It's refreshing working with a professional group that knows what they're doing and knows how to get it done. So kudos to the borough for making this happen, and Dave and the management of all of this. Yes, it's a, you know, seeing the difference, we'll be seeing the difference, but it's all about implementation and just knowing what you're doing and being professional and doing it, and that's what's happening. So, thank you.
Okay, very good. You were up one.
Yeah. So, Public Works, DPW has been working with the landscaper downtown on the New Jersey Transit lot and other areas. Continue with the park maintenance, the fields, and street paving. I don't really have an elaborate report from DPW, but you'll see some of the roads being paved. I don't know if we're talking about the lines in the road or the street, but that might be a whole other issue on West Maple. So Dale's on vacation this week. So certainly he'll be back at the next meeting, and we'll have a more elaborate report from him. The Architectural Review Advisory Committee, we had a hearing on the August of 18th, and that was for the America's Florist. We did submit a report for that, an architectural review report. We did provide alternate designs, architectural designs, which were not really entertained by the developer, I will say that. And it's a shame because, you know, it's just an advisory committee. They don't really have to listen to the advisory board, although if you do want to be a good partner in town and you're building in a residential area, you know, it would be nice if you gelled with the area and just not pulled a building off the shelf and say that, you know, that's what people want to live in. So, you know, I know there's some issues with the style of that building. The Cultural Arts Committee, we're still working on the mural project, have one business owner who is, Hopkinson is okay with a mural going on their building. There's some next steps with that property and what could potentially be built next to them. We're working on a murder mystery dinner, and that right now is planned for October 10th. So you'll hear more about that. That may get pushed off a little bit later than October 10th. We secured restaurants to be involved with that, providing an appetizer, a main course, and a dessert. Battle Down Brook is also another project that the Cultural Arts Committee will hopefully be supporting and engaging the schools to get involved. So that's still more to come. Battle of Down Brook this year is April 11th for Down Brook, 2026. Library Advisory Board, there's, well, tonight's council meeting, right, will be reading a resolution, 2025 or 2028, maybe it is, and that's contracting TIL management for the remediation of the library asbestos. So, you know, it may have looked like things weren't moving along, but they were. And as more information comes in and we progress, there will be an update posted on the borough website so the public can see that, because the last post on the website is from January when we had a press release. So we'll provide the public with an update on where we stand with the library and hopefully looking at a full opening of the main floor. So that'll be nice because for the Battle of Bound Brook, we may be able to have some programming in the library and maybe even not a grand opening, but a celebratory opening at that event for the public in the library. Just kind of spitballing and thinking out loud here. So that's it, I think, for the library. Planning board, the meeting this week on the 28th has been adjourned. The next scheduled meeting is September 11th. And there's an agenda with multiple hearings that are being scheduled, but that's for the 11th. Bound Brook Seniors, July and August, they do a luncheon, so we didn't have a meeting. The next meeting is September 22nd. So not much to report there. The Cultural and Heritage Commission meeting at the county is on the 4th. And then just again a little bit about the Battle of Bound Brook, planning the event. This year is the 249th celebration of the Battle of Bound Brook. The big year for us will be 2027, which is the 250th. But, you know, we've been securing reenactors for our portion of the event and working on the CHIP grant. So,
good.
Okay.
Any questions? Okay. Good.
Okay, so the fire department, I didn't receive any reports this month from them. I know they've been extremely busy. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I have access to the application for every time they get a notification that there's an alert in town, and the last couple of weeks they've been extremely busy, maybe not necessarily fires, but I've been seeing a lot of natural gas smells. I believe there was 2 calls for that today alone. So they're excused for not sending the other report for this month because I know he's been very busy. Police,
We don't have the full report. I'm going to read out some numbers here, some interesting things to bring up, and then a couple other points I'd like to ask the captain and the chief to speak on as well. But so this month is our calls for service was 70 less than the previous month, but we're also at the lowest of the year so far. That's halfway through the year. In July, we're at 1,730. It's the lowest number we've had by 100 plus, or by 70, I guess you could say. Interesting enough, criminal disorderly arrests is at our highest of the year, for 49. That's a plus 13, higher than any of the other months. And our motor vehicle violations also is at a plus 22, not the highest of the year, right around average there. Parking violations, I guess our parking enforcement guy was on vacation last month because we're at 300 lower than the previous month. Another one I wanted to bring up is tavern complaints, second highest of the year. We're at 5, and you know, track side, we got our eye on you if there's anybody that here that goes there. They were the 99% of the complaints from the month. And also another highest point, actually a double our year average, is prisoner's house of 28. It's up 8 from last month, which was our previous highest. But, yeah, our average is about 10 to 12 per month, and we're at 28 this month. And, again, yeah, the tavern complaints, it was 4 for the track side and just 1 for a disorderly person at it's Cellar 97, but he used to be by Red Liquors. Now, I know the officer's been visiting the Boundbrook Recreation Camp on a regular basis and building up some great relationships with the kids there, so they've been doing an awesome job there. Another interesting thing, I don't want to skip over that one for now, and they had, obviously, the police were at the fire department carnival, but we had our national night out, which I thought was a huge success. I don't know how many folks made it down over there, but I was there, and it was great. Fantastic turnout, just on Hamilton Street. It was just, I had a great time. And every officer I spoke to that night was really enjoying themselves. It was, yeah, kudos to you guys. Great job, well done. The other thing, now, Jason, I don't know if you'd like to speak on this, but the Italian police force came to visit and did a tour of our facilities here. If you want to bring anything up on this one? Either of you guys?
I do know they came. I think it was Officer Cole brought them around, spoke with them, talked with them about a few things here. But I unfortunately had one of my days off, so I was not able to be here without one of the few that I talked to here. So is what it is.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of information on that. I do know that the people had a good time. They saw some of our equipment, some of our stuff that they don't have in their toolbox over there. So it was nice to have them here. So you welcome that to anybody, whether you're from another state, another country, or have no idea what we do, or what our new cells look like, which are done now. Well, we got to fix some audio for every mode, and that would be okay.
Thank you. And I know, again, Jason, there was Officer Rumination did something of note this week, was that?
Yeah, so he finished up it was a two-week course, but it was two separate weeks for FBI NIDA. Myself, Captain Schwartz, and Pete Rumination did the initial three classes to get our Trilogy Awards for leadership from FBI NIDA. I didn't want to send the three of us to this two-week course, because then the three of us would be gone those same weeks, and it will definitely do that sometimes. He was able to complete this two-week extra leadership course, which is a great testament to him. Lieutenant Waller has done two of those FBI needed courses. He needs one more to finish his trilogy, and once that's done, I would like to have the four of us up there, that we, our entire administrative staff, will have certificates from the FBI and other courses, which is great. And it's some really, really good training. They teach us a wide variety of stuff. That's the up and coming stuff. Captain Schwartz and myself also did New Jersey State Police, their version of this Trilogy Award for leadership through the New Jersey State Chiefs of Police Association. So we did that last, and I think he's scheduled to do that this coming year. So, you know, we're trying to make sure somebody's always here to you know, continue on doing what we're doing here.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. That's the just the police stuff today.
Can I ask a question maybe for the chief or you went about the police or with you? Just reason for the increase in disorderly arrests? Was there just a
nice athletic?
Something we'll say something.
Yeah. Not a problem area, it was more of a scattered.
Yeah, the other thing we did several times throughout the past month was quality detail. We put officers out in plain clothes, hitting some of our target areas, so that was a little bit more of a reason. We had a couple extra guys on certain shifts, certain days, and different times, just to, you know, keep the bad people think more there.
We got a few more
people. Yeah. That program, the quality light, that's as far as the urinators and the old containers that bottom of nurses. It's a lot easier for our officers to walk down the street with a hat and, you know, a t-shirt and jeans and see people, you know, with open containers and things like that, as opposed to drive by a police car and they hide it, leave, they come right back out. So it's just another tool we have. We've done it many years ago. I did it a lot when I was in our detective bureau in plain clothes. Something now that our manpower is back up to speed. Something we want to continue doing. And a lot of it's depending on weather, because you're not seeing people walking around in the rain or snow, but whatever we can target to make this town better and safer, we're going to do it.
Before you go, I had a couple people send me comments about the e-bikes. I know that's been brought up in a previous meeting. I know it's an ongoing problem. I'm always shocked by how fast they're going.
It amazes me.
I would see it. I'm like, how is that? I mean, there's a safety concern. You know, I've heard of, you know, groups of teenagers basically playing chicken and yep. taunting, and, you know, they're driving up and down the sidewalks. When I think this was last brought up, I don't think it was as prevalent. Is there anything or any discussion as far as how to effectively manage that? I mean, can we require insurance? Can we require registration?
I
anything like that?
I think it depends on what they're operating and.
So there's a state statute that limits what you can do, but there's it defines what the e-bike is, and it defines what a what's the other one, scooter or something.
Yeah.
But it defines that, and then it says they're subject to all the rules of the road. So you can issue the tickets if they're
okay.
Following the road. That's supposed to be on the sidewalk. That's supposed to be doing those things. There's a speed limit on them. I don't know if there's a possibility to make them to somehow break it so it goes faster than what the speed limit is. But if that's the case, they're in violation.
I mean, I'm sure I'm dating myself by saying this, but these things are faster than the mopeds were when I was a kid.
Yep, absolutely.
And those required registration and.
Yeah, and a lot of times when our officers try to stop them, they just take off and we're creating more of a risk. I think now the school's starting back up, our SROs are going to be coming back. So what I'd like to do is have them talk to the kids in school, maybe teach them some of the rules and how these things work, and, you know, prepare them for if anything happens. And they should be wearing helmets, because we've had a lot of near misses. Especially over by the pool park and everything. It's something we really need to get some information out. I believe we just put something on social media a couple of weeks ago, just so we can start that ball rolling, hopefully we have more conversations to teach them some of the rules.
I think one of the issues is they don't make any noise.
So I know.
A moped that you rode around on, you know, and a motorcycle, it makes noise, but these things come up stuff, and by the time you realize it's there, it's whizzing by you, so it has perception to it that it's even faster, and because you're not hearing it talk, and it's just coming at you.
Well, I've had, at middle of the night, pitch black, I've had, walking my dog, I have a headlamp, and if they're coming from behind me, all of a sudden I just hear, like, the sound of the tires, and I'm like, you know,
Yeah.
And I see them driving at night with no lights. Some of them have no reflectors. Like one of the kids, I wanted to just stop and be like, "Can I give you a reflective sticker so I can at least see if I'm?"
Yeah, and even going back to the pedal bikes, we've had issues where groups of kids come through town, you know, scoring in front of them at a clip, and there's not much we can really do except give them a safe passage to get out of town.
Yeah.
But then the kids ride wheelies in and out of the street. It's something that's very concerning. It's happening everywhere, but I think we need to teach. And then move from there. That's my personal feeling. But I think once we move back to session, we can hopefully eliminate some of this stuff.
And now with social media, are you getting into sites that kids actually use? Because I don't know what those are anymore.
We do. I don't either. I still have Facebook, and that's all I have.
Yeah.
But we do have a couple of officers who are really good with social media.
Okay.
And they do a lot of digging around. They bring stuff to our attention that might be popping up. And then we just kind of target that area.
And at risk of taking up too much time, with the social media stuff, is there any opportunities for training? You know, for example, the issues that the Middlesex Carnival had with these social media generated mobs. Is there any new method? I mean, I hear on the radio that there's talk of legislation to hold the parents accountable, so on and so forth. But at the flip side, I mean, I don't know how any of that's going to work. But on the flip side, is there anybody able to monitor?
So, I mean, Mike, you probably talked a little bit about it too. There's a lot of stuff that comes through OEM. A lot of information gets passed back and forth. If anything that's coming from a town, it has to be given to OEM. It's distributed to air quality within the town and area. The Rock House monitors a lot of this stuff, the state police, the Rock there. They monitor a lot of them and distribute a lot of information. So it's a lot of people talking. Sometimes we get the information, sometimes we don't. But it's a lot easier when my officers who are looking on social media and know where to look can find this stuff. We had one a couple years ago with one of the pop-up car things, and we had the area shut down before they even showed up, and they ended up in Bridgewater. We knew where they were going. We called them. They shut them down, and they ended up in front, and then we got drunk. But at least they're not here to come.
Good.
Just a quick question. So I know the e-bikes, but then there's also, electronic, whatever, that look like mini-bikes, right?
Yeah.
Or what used to be
called. Those little short ones?
Mini-bikes. And I don't know, they're not scooters. I mean, I hear them on my street. I see them up and down, riding.
Those are gas? I just saw one this past weekend. The guy had a little kid in front of him.
No helmet.
Neither one of them had a helmet. I'm like,
it's probably my neighbor.
No.
Yeah, and I encourage anybody when they see that, call us. And a lot of times
they're gone.
They're gone by the time we get there. But again, being out there, being visible, and if they see them, they didn't stop them. You need to teach and encourage them to stay on the side of the road, wear a helmet, follow the rules. It's definitely one of the avoid accidents if something's really going to get hurt.
So does the legislation cover mini bikes too? Or?
Well, they're gas powered. If you hear them, they're gas powered.
Probably. I don't know.
And the law, it really depends on if it's gas, what size the motor is, how fast they can go. There's a lot of things you really got to look into.
Well, that's my husband.
Am I allowed to get a golf cart to drive around town? Okay.
Jason, one thing, the helmet laws, how do they apply to these motorized vehicles?
I believe it's the same thing as any kind of a helmet.
So it's an age restriction for helmet, though, right? Or I should say an age limit for helmet?
Correct.
I think so. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they changed it. I never talked about them changing it a while back. I don't know if they actually had to prove that.
Yeah, to me that seems like something that needs to be changed. You got these motorized vehicles that can do 20 miles an hour without a pedal or anything like that.
Something a lot faster than that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I can tell you, our helmets like, we have them to do up to 30, 35 miles an hour. But my guys are very
confident. It's faster than a street sweeper. EMS. Mike, you know, jump in if I'm missing anything here of importance. But calls answered, food quarters, quarter one was 387, quarter two was 399, quarter three up to August so far is 275. Year to date, we have 1,067 calls for EMS. And apparently we are on pace to smash the annual record. Is that a significant amount, Mike?
In our first year, we did 1187.
Okay.
Somewhere around 1250.
So 4 months ago. Okay. Yep, I see what you're talking about. Still having issues with some of the ambulances. We have some work being done on them. I won't bore everybody with those details. Some lights issues, oil leaks, which I believe was repaired. Oxygen leak on number one. Looks like he was patched. The oxygen leak on BLS 1.
So the oxygen leak on BLS 1 is going to have to wait until it comes back from Code 3 working on the solution to their computer-based lighting problem.
Okay. Current roster is in flux. One onboarding now, one new guy coming in. And we have three more to interview. And that'll put us back up to the 16.
Relatively speaking, we're also losing our three
colleges. Okay.
That's why.
So we really are in flux. Okay.
Okay.
And I see you have a few folks on leave. Okay. But your ultimate number is 24, right? Total. The key number to get to.
2022. We have to go that high.
Okay.
I prefer not to do that.
Okay. And then we have a new guy on the agenda for tonight.
What was that?
We have a new guy on the agenda for tonight to vote in, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. OEM, after some of the gas leaks I was referring to, these were going back to July, but we had a couple of reports for them. The Ford Explorer, again, was repaired. We are going to quarter four training for some of these guys, I believe it was, or we got the grant.
For OEM?
Yeah.
We did receive the grant, which we anticipated we were going to do before, but we were officially heard. Anytime there's something going on with the state, you can anticipate that a formal approval is something that we've said about, even though you're anticipating it. And then what was the other thing you asked me about?
Just the gas leaks I was talking about, but. Yeah, I know. Did you guys check the two? I think it was today, right? Was there a couple of gas leaks? Did you guys go into them? Or was that just fire?
I responded to one of them. Duty crew was out on another call.
Okay.
But typically, yes, we're on every fire sign.
Okay. And then, OEM, you have two new guys trying to roster it with there as well.
We did.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anything else you wanted to bring up? It's important that I might have missed here. I know you sent me a bunch of stuff, but.
No, just to remind everybody that sometimes OEM is working in the background and we're not necessarily that visible, but yeah, we were at National Night Out, we were at the Carnival. If there's something going on and we're aware of it, you know, we do what we can to assist the event in any way we can.
Yeah, I've seen you guys at every one, so doing a great job. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'm sorry, Chief. Real quick, the EMS, I don't know if it's... an attaboy or what? Why our numbers are increasing?
I didn't look at month to date to our previous 2 Augusts to see, but I could take a look and let you know how we compare to the previous 2 Augusts. I will also chalk it up to the fact that in emergency services, and I think I'm preaching to the choir, at least to you, if not at least a couple other people. Hot weather brings odd behavior,
yeah.
Poor judgment, and outdoor activities that result in illnesses and injuries. This is why. Hopefully,
are we answering mutual aid calls?
I can look at that too to see if there's been an increase offhand. Notably, I wouldn't say that I think there's been a terrible increase in the mutual. It's mostly about working middle section generator.
Great.
Okay, who was it left here? Parking Commission didn't meet, but I have had individual discussions with some of the folks there, and we've been in heavy discussions about the newly painted lines on Maple Ave
I know some folks have had some issues with that too, and it's being discussed and it will be remediated one way or another. That's about all I can really speak on the Parking Commission right now today. So that's about it.
Any questions? Councilman Speed,
so the Economic Development Committee met last week. There's two items on the agenda. One was working on or fine-tuning our response regarding Radio 10, trying to renegotiate the prior pilot. We asked for some additional financial analysis before we go back with our response. There's also a development that was previously approved 5 or 6 years ago that does not have a pilot, that again wants to sell, that is looking for a pilot now before they sell. We're continuing our due diligence on our response to their proposal. The Recreation Commission met July 30th. Their meetings, unfortunately, fall right after our second meeting of the month. So at that time, the summer camp was going very well. They had about 30 to 50 attendees a week. They expect about 75 to 100 attendees next year. They brought in, as of last month, $19,000 in revenue so far. Fireman's Carnival was a huge success. There were a lot of comments about the fireworks being a great display, a lot of positive feedback. I'm then having to be brought back. The Rec Commission is beginning an analysis of its policies and procedures, and in the near future is looking to update them. With regard to the pool, revenues so far this year were just shy of $94,000. To put that in comparison, previously the maximum revenue, annual revenue for the pool was $74,000, so it's about $20,000 increase by the end of July. Their last day will be September 1st, according to last month's meeting. And as of that meeting, 781 members of the school were from Boundbrook, 98 members of the pool were from out of town. The Rec Commission decided to institute day passes at the last meeting. Prior to that, day passes were not a thing, and the day passes were limited to 20 day passes a day. That was not necessarily a total of 20. 20 could be issued at a time, and there was a log to be kept so that if someone came for a few hours and left, then that spot could be sold again as a day pass. The Rec Commission expressed a need for pool furniture, but noted that was a capital expenditure. They also expressed concern about where to store it, looking at the possibility of a storage unit. Cheer will be starting up, I believe, on September 8th. That's a cheer clinic. They were looking for a park coordinator at the time. I see that council will be voting on 4 clinic employees tonight. They were also working on developing the flag football program, which has since been sealed, and we're voting on hiring a coordinator tonight. The Rec Commission received an Empower grant of $3,000. Towards pool passes for qualifying residents. The Elks had also issued a grant towards the summer camp for 10 positions or for attendees that had not been utilized yet, and the Rec Commission was exploring options on how to use those or perhaps how to roll them over. And then lastly, there was discussion about the barricades on Mrs. Thompson, adjacent to where the pool area is, for child safety. They have been up, they have been down. I believe they're now back up, and I think that's how they're going to stay. Those are the sort of things I have.
Anybody have any questions?
Maybe just before we start,
is there actually ordinance on those barricades?
I think that was just a
kind of questionable. I don't think so.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Maybe we should think about it. Well, that we have kind of a certain hours.
So that they're officially staffed.
So the first time
they're fall.
Yeah.
I think this is the first year I've seen them up the most constantly compared to other years.
I mean, I was just, you know, that some people complain that they shouldn't be up and getting down. Like, if you have an ordinance kind of guy, I would think that kind of understand that working for walks.
I mean, it's been like that forever.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
when you ask,
literally,
like, it was like, no, it's not really what you do because it's
yeah, gross. Part of my existence here, forever.
Department continues to conduct party enforcement inspections on the Main Street area, along with Columbus Commons and Main Street areas, including associated site streets. We're looking for violations of property maintenance, signage, garbage, and building facade maintenance issues. Violations have been issued. The inspections have taken place. Any violations remaining have also been issued. Some of this total number of inspections completed resulted in 137 violations being issued with 91 inspections. These all range from grass, garbage, and signage violations. Several businesses have been in discussed what type of window upkeeps are acceptable to the borough. Examples have been handed out that should address some of the issues with some of the vacant buildings just being painted over the windows and signage all over the place. Next month, we hope to move up to the Union Avenue area and address some of those issues up there. We had a meeting with the developer Meridian 1 to discuss the reconstruction and reuse of the existing footing and foundation to be incorporated into the new approved building design. Meridian 1 is that burnt out building that everyone's been staring at for a few years. Existing footing and foundation has been inspected and certified by a structural engineer and structurally sound, which is great news. Ongoing Meridian 1 elevator towers is ongoing preparation for demo operation of the existing foundation to accommodate the new building design will begin approximately 4 weeks. 100 Hamilton, which is, I believe, the rail, has obtained a TCO, which is a temporary certificate of occupancy for A section apartments and are in the process of extending the temporary CO to the B section. We'll shortly be looking for a full CO for the project. Regular life hazard and non-life hazard units inspections are all on track on time. Give you some numbers on inspections. For the month, we have 23 building permits, 43 building inspections, 183 spot and housing inspections, 93 zoning violations, 6 fire complaints, 6 zoning applications, 6 smoke certs for resale and rental change, 6 fire violations, 1 fire investigation, 12 complaints, 36 fire inspections, 11 re-inspections, 1 fire plan review, and 3 road opening permits. Online payments are also now up and running department-wide, so you can always go on the borough website. That's all I have for code. I believe the shade tree, we have our chair, Chrissy Porter, that would like to give her report.
Thanks, Councilman. Hi, my name is Christy Colbert. I'm the chair of the Shade Tree Commission. I wanted to just do a quick recap for a few reasons, which I'll get to. But we had our meeting on Thursday, the 21st. We discussed a recap of our camp sessions. Our second camp session was August 5th. We had a great time. Hope the kids learned a little. They did a lot of sharing. It was very fun. Did some more tree walks. Talked about dendrochronology and tree ring science, which was a lot of fun. I want to thank Emma Lamperti, as well as Tom Morris, who we're great to partner with, and hope that we will be invited back next year. We also are sending out tree watering letters. It's a little late in the season to be doing that, but because we've had a rainier spring and early in the summer, and now we're hitting a real dry spell, we've sent letters out to homeowners who received new trees in front of their properties over the last year to year and a half, and letters have been mailed out to them. So we will be distributing the gator bags, the water bags that go onto the trees. We're actually going to be securing those to the uprights that are supporting the trees this year instead of around the tree itself. But we will be working with Public Works around deer guards to get those on trees this year, because I know I've had deer coming in and making themselves at home in my yard. So they're everywhere, literally. That being said, we're also working on our inspections. Public Works does all of our pruning and so forth in the late fall into winter when trees go dormant. So we are getting our list of priority prunings together for them, as well as any tree removals that we may have already missed to get caught up on those. Our fall planting is also going to be going on sometime later this fall. Our goal is to have that done before Christmas time. We did it very late, early January this year, actually. So we want to get those done by December. And so we would just want to put a reminder out to everybody. So far, I've only received about 6 requests to have trees actually planted in front of properties. So just reminding the public in general, there's a form for tree requests on our webpage, on the borough website. They can also email us at shadetree@foundbrooknj.org and make a request for trees that way as well. And then at our last meeting, we also approved a letter that I did send to the Senate Advisory Board through Councilman Morris. So just a reminder, any projects that involve trees and shrubs, please engage the Shade Tree Commission, because that does fall under our purview. We very much want to be involved in any project, a beautification project, but we also want to make sure that we're planting the right things at the right time, that maintenance is being done at the right time in the right way, and we want to be a partner in those things. Okay, so please, please, please engage us. And that being said, you know, we have a limited budget, so every year we may be looking for a little bit more money, so please keep that in mind. So that we're able to do more beautification projects, especially down in the city area and in others of our public park areas. So I look forward to hearing back from the City Advisory Board. Last thing, I will just want to let the mayor know, we have a new member who's joined us as an alternate, so I'll be reaching out to you for the formal process to get her appointed formally. Okay, any questions?
Are there plants available for the shade tree that we should be looking into?
So one of the reasons I keep asking for everyone to engage us on projects is because most of the grants that are available, no one wants to give us money to just plant more trees. They're really looking for something a little more maybe sophisticated, or looking at broader green space opportunities. I think our sit area is actually a prime opportunity for some interesting green space. And so, you know, again, I think we could get some grant money for that, but again, that requires a collaboration.
So more of like a bigger project, and then of which you, the Shade Tree Commission, would be incorporated.
Yeah, in particular, okay. Because of our history of flooding down in that part of town, looking at more impervious pavements, looking at bioswales and green spaces where we can do more plantings that might be more appropriate for areas that tend to get more water, and incorporating, you know, trees that can help to create the appropriate absorption for stormwater runoff and that sort of thing. So, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity. One last thing I'll mention, because you did mention lighting, and I know this is not under my purview, but because I'm in Shade Tree and because we don't have an environmental commission, I do get invited to various and sundry seminars. I was recently invited and attended a seminar for the Dark Skies, the New Jersey chapter of Dark Skies, and this was hosted by the Madison Environmental Commission. It was really interesting, something I didn't really know much about, but it was really around the types of lighting that we're using, how it affects us personally. I know, the borough had done an ordinance last year, I think it was, on, you know, some lighting. I think there's actually more we can do, because this not only affects people, birds, pollinators, it affects wildlife, it affects crime in a positive way, if you have the right kind of lighting. So there's a lot of different things that we can take a look at that I would encourage you. So I'm going to pass along the information. Please take that into consideration. Also, I was downtown last Wednesday for lunch and noticed lights coming on during the day on the double lamp fixtures that we have down there. And so, you know, I don't know if anything can be done to correct that.
little cost savings there. So, all right. Any questions?
Yeah. No, I'm just happy to say we're watering the trees on the
day. Appreciate that.
So, yep. Even tonight, I said, John, the trees across the street.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll get a bag soon. We'll get the bag. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Because they also noticed that with the downtown along Main Street, there are some spots there that could use some trees that street. So I think it would be beneficial to work together for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, because there's a couple of dead trees on Main Street that we'd love to get pulled. And
oh, is it like an empty rectangle?
I'll be honest, my only little bit of hesitation is because, like I said, I'd like us to maybe think a little broader about what our opportunities are for tree planting, that maybe we might want to wait one more year. But we can think about that. So, but again, engage us in conversation. Okay? All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, we'll move right along to introduction of ordinance for first reading. Ordinance 2025-21, ordinance 2025-18, an ordinance amending and supplementing Appendix C, fee schedule of the municipal code to amend fee schedule for building subcode. I need a motion to pass on first reading, advertise it according to law, and to be held on September 9th, a public hearing.
Motion.
I need a second.
Roll call.
Council President Brinkovic?
Yes.
Councilman Guerin?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Speed?
Yes.
All right. Ordinance on final reading consideration. Ordinance 25-20, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 17, Property Maintenance, to amend Section 24 of the revised general ordinance of the borough of Bound Brook to provide additional provisions to enforce the borough's property maintenance code. I need a motion to open for public comment.
Motion.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to comment?
General comment or regarding the
this one particular one. We'll get the okay. All right, then I need a motion to close.
Motion.
Second. Then I need a motion to move the ordinance on second reading and advertise according to law.
Motion.
Second. Any discussion from the council?
Am I able to vote if I wasn't here for the first reading?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, there's no discussion, and we'll move to roll call.
Council President Brinkovic?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Speed?
Yes.
All right, very good. Resolutions. The resolutions listed below are submitted to the governing body for review and will be adopted by one motion. If subject discussion is desired, the resolution may be removed by council action. Resolutions 25-422 through 430. Anyone from the council wish to remove any of those?
I need to pull 429 and 430.
429 and 430.
Just to maybe you can just elaborate on the 428, why we went with, it's in the resolution, but why we went with the second bid instead of the first bid, so the public can hear that. Just a little clarification there, in case there's a question.
The lowest bidder provided was $219,000. They, in their bid packet, you're required to provide acknowledgement of specific notices that come from the borough or the, our engineering firm to clarify language for the prospective bidders. They did not acknowledge that, so under the local public contracts law, we can deem that as a fatal flaw, so we move to the next lowest bidder.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay,
I just wanted to clarify for the public why we do what we do.
Council Speed, want to deal with 4.9 through 30 together, separately, or
explanation? I just need to abstain because each of my children are involved in each of those activities.
Then let's do a roll call on 4.29 and 4.30.
Motion to pass 429 and 430.
Second. Okay, roll call.
Council President Brinkovic?
Yes.
Councilman Guerra?
Yes.
Councilman Morris?
Yes.
Councilman Rossi?
Yes.
Councilman Speed?
Abstain.
Okay. That leaves 422 through 428. 428. I need a motion.
Motion.
A second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Very good. Any objections? And we'll go to 25-431, a resolution approving vouchers in the amount of $4,112,645.35. I need a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
A roll call.
Council President Berchtesgaden.
Yes.
Councilman Garrett.
Yes.
Councilman Morris.
Yes.
Councilman Rossi.
Yes.
Councilman Speed.
Yes.
All right, very good. We are now open to the public for any comments. Let's take your name.
Good evening, I'm George Dinette. So I wanted to speak to a couple of things. I think, or regarding the problem that we have in this town, I mean, just from my experience, because I worked in the county in libraries for like 10 years, we do have a lot of problem, a big problem of alcoholism just in the area. And I was doing a lot of outreach to the community just in the Raritan Valley area. When I would ask people what issues they have or they see in their communities, a lot of times they would say, you know, it's just a lot of consumption of alcohol. And we used to have, it's really a shame because the library closed when we were trying to get a full-time social worker position. Right about that time, I think, is when it closed. And it's something that should definitely be revisited when we open up and whatever. Eventually, I don't know if it's something that's going to have to wait until it's fully functional or if it's something that's available now that we are partly open. But it's something that to explore again. Sorry, go ahead. Oh, we already have one.
He's located at the T Street.
Oh.
He has an office there, the shared services for the town.
Mm. Oh, wonderful.
And he does a great job. So you can refer him to him or his room to some of the police department if anybody needs assistance. And I'm sure
okay. And what's the person's name or the organization?
Well, Somerset County,
CPAC?
CPAC.
His name is Victor Flores.
Flores Lopez?
Oh, that's me.
Yeah, we have all the information over the police department, so if anybody needs anything, we can give you the referral, and he is
working
families at the T3 Hall of the Mayor's.
Thank you. I wanted to, so it's been, I don't know how long it's been, I've been coming here 2.5-3 months, and what's the status on the, do we have a borough clerk, are we going to hire one eventually? I think it's kind of, you know, if anybody's done any administrative or secretarial work, you know, for a large organization, that's a lot of work. And it takes away from, you know, the functions and roles that you have. It's a very, it's a very hard job to be a borough administrator. And we need to definitely, you know, support Ms. McCoy. Look, I don't miss a day. The last administration, I don't think we had a good relationship. Certain county institutions, there's many things like at the library that we haven't put toilet paper, stuff that Burr needed to pay for. And there was the communication was not great. And I've had a very good response and very good communication with Ms. McCoy. I'd love for her to continue being here. And we need to support her and provide a borough clerk. So I don't know, I want to ask, what's the status of that?
I'd be happy to report that we hired a borough clerk to
deputy.
We already have a judge. Yeah.
That's great.
Deputy, so you're referring to a deputy clerk?
Yes, well, I don't know if it's a...
No, judge is going to be administrator.
Okay.
And
the borough clerk. Oh, so that's a joint
position. Deputy clerk.
Okay. Wonderful.
We've had a deputy clerk since...
For a month.
For a month. Great.
I think we're happy with her performance. So there you go.
Wonderful. Was last question, I'll leave you guys alone.
All right.
And
try to get this answer to this one, too.
Okay. What is the status? Because I don't know if anybody had a chance to, you know, look at the news and see some of the the raids that happened in Edison, there was a council meeting that was a lot of residents and organizations speaking out. What is going on? Because what are we undertaking as a town so that when next time that this hits, that we have this situation in our communities? Like, I literally just spoke to someone on Sunday, another person, because I was doing tenant organizing, and they were telling me same story. An ICE agent, this is when it happened in June, that we had all these events, that I sent all the videos and pictures to Ms. McCoy. But she was telling me, yeah, they came here three times, they looked through the windows, everything is really, it feels like harassment, you know. What are we going to do? What is our strategic plan? What is our legal strategy? Anything that we're doing in regards to that, so that we're better with cartel?
No, I don't have, I'm familiar with the raids. I've kind of been at a commission for a few months here, a couple months. Yeah, have there been raids? And did the police get involved with any of that? Are they notified? I'm not sure what the process is. I mean, I have to say personally, I think it's kind of crazy what's going on in the country in general, you know, so don't support the raids, obviously, right? I don't know, you know, what we can legally do and what our strategy could be. I don't know, you know, the history here and what we can really legally do. You know, that's a federal, I guess, you know, operation. So that's, you know, I know I haven't been here for a few of the meetings that you attended, but...
There was a suggestion that was floated. I don't know what ever came out of it. That was one of my friends. He was a former New York City official. He said that, why don't we send a letter, a statement to the Attorney General and the Governor, and share some of it, because we have the footage and everything that took place, and we don't know. We want to make, you know, I don't know if we can take any sort of like legal action to make sure that when they come in, they check in, you know, with our local police department or something. They show, okay, disclose. These are the warrants that we have. We're going to be here in town, whatever. So that there is a I don't know how to call it, a procedural, a something that is not, we making sure that they're just not going willy-nilly. And you know, that we know that they're here, they have a warrant, this and that, and it's not just them venturing, like, you know, like, I don't know, the some new world explorer, whatever, right?
So I appreciate your comments. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what your point of view is, we have to abide by the rules of the federal government, so we can't give them out to set up our own laws to force the federal government, the ICE agents, when they come to Baton Rouge, to abide by our laws.
Yeah. So a statement or a letter of willingness.
We're still, you know, the police department, we're still in New Jersey. They're governed by the Attorney General, the rules of the Attorney General. And I think in New Jersey, our governor, as well as our Attorney General, are well aware of the situation and have come out publicly not supporting the raids. As far as the council, we could certainly, and certainly the council members are discussing it at all times. I mean, it's in the news and everything like that. At some point, we could put something up for a vote from the council members and see how the council wants to do with it. One, if we were to pass it, we could send it on to, you know, the governor's office, and whether we make a difference. You know, that would be up to the governor's office. At this point, I don't think they've reached out and suggested that each borough put it on their agenda. I mean, I think we've been left to deal with it on our own. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at from a borough standpoint. Unless anybody wants to add anything in addition.
Mayor, just to piggyback of what you said, we definitely feel safe in town. That's what we have, our emergency services for. Our police department is definitely there for you. Anything you need, anyone in the borough, call 911, and there's no reason why you should feel
scared or afraid or threatened. Again, we have a small town, an excellent police department, fire department, EMS, OEM. I mean, I'm sure you'll recognize a lot of the faces that are out there. You know, call someone and we're there for you. There's no reason why anyone in town should be afraid.
So yeah, I think that was the gist of the first time you came, when we tried to get across, that you get across to the citizens, that should they feel frightened or should they question who the people are, they should need to call our police department. Then they'll respond.
No, that's
they're not going to respond to help. They're going to respond to help the citizens.
No, I understand that. Certainly a resource they have. But also, when there's a will, there's a way. If there's a certain urgency, we're made uncomfortable by what's happening. There's it shouldn't take 2 months after the fact that we haven't even produced a statement, put something together. I suggested a resolution that was easy in language. Just do a public condemnation of this list. And these things, even if it's symbolic, even if it's whatever, it's something that helps. The worst response to these things are always silence. So that's why I expect more of all of us here. Mm-hmm. So, but thank you for that.
Anyone else?
Hi, my name is Ivana Romero. I'm a health star business owner. I'm here for many times. I think all you guys know. I want to say thank you to Andres, because I'm so proud of him, what he's doing. We definitely need help. We definitely need to be protected some way. Talking about immigration, I know Bristol has done something that is really great for the community. Maybe you guys can do better than me. You guys can talk with somebody in Bristol, the Borough Municipal people. They found a way to protect immigration. I'm here for 30 years. I'm paying taxes like everybody. I'm really, really good citizen. And I'm really worried about how I can say, I want to use, and I'm sorry for my English. I worry for the school. The school is coming, right? The school is going to start next week. Some kids are afraid to go back to school. And there are many reasons to be afraid. Yes. We respect. We are very thankful. We respect the law. And we're here for a reason, to have a better future. I'm really, really worried for the kids. They have to be happy to come back to school, to go back to school. If those guys are close at the school, they're not going to go back to school. I have my business for 13 years in ministry. It's very hard to see Main Street empty. There is no people walking on Main Street. I don't know how we are going to survive. We have no people coming to Main Street. People doesn't come. We open from Monday to Sunday, from 6 to 7:30. We always there. Guys, I'm sorry. Why you don't get in touch with these people in Princeton and find out what they did with the immigration, immigrants. Now they feel more protected. They feel like somebody is up there for them. I want to feel like I'm not alone. This is my house. This is my home. I'm here for 30 years, almost 31 years. So there is different ways to have things done. And of course we respect our government. Of course we respect our president. Of course, there is too much to say thank you. But if we can find a way to make sure that kids are going to be happy at school. 75% of our kids are Latinos, immigrant people. They just want to go to school and study and learn, and the parents have to go to work, of course, but also they want to be to make sure that the kids are fine. We're not doing nothing wrong. Thank you.
Do we know if anything that the Board of Ed is doing, or have you been to a Board of Ed meeting? Kendall.
Which meeting?
Is Board of Education? Kendall is our liaison to...
The superintendent has put out guidelines of how the school district handles if ice cream comes to school, of how we handle it. Mm-hmm. How the school district handles it. So they've also, they have a pretty good system of social workers and things like that right within the school district that are working with those kids that do feel threatened by...
I'm sure that we can do something now for the community, not only for the students. I'm going to try to have more information about what Princeton did to protect the community. And I'm going to do it next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bonnie.
Anyone else? No? Then,
Any updates of anything that we need to discuss or not yet?
Did you have any questions?
No.
All right, then I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
All right.